Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
What should have been an exciting cruise around exotic parts of the world turned out to be anything but for the passengers on board one of the world's largest cruise ships in January of 2012 as it struck rocks off the coast of Isla del Giglio, twisting the ship onto its side and claiming the lives of 32 passengers. This is the Costa Concordia story.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the Dark Side of Wikipedia.
Costa Concordia was a cruise ship operated by Costa Concordia Cruise Lines. She was the first of the Concordia-class cruise ships, followed by similar ships, Costa Serena, Costa Pacifica, Costa Favalusa, and Costa Barcelona, and Carnival Splendor, built for Carnival Cruise Line. When the 114,137 gross tonnage Costa Concordia and her sister ships entered service, they were among the largest ships in Italy until the construction of the 130,000 GT Dream Class cruise ships. On January 13th of 2012, at 21:45 hours, Costa Concordia struck a rock in the Tyrrhenian Sea just off the eastern shore of Isla del Giglio. This tore open a 50-meter gash on the port side of her hull, which soon flooded parts of the engine room, cutting power from the engines and ship services. With water flooding in and the ship listing, she drifted back towards the island and grounded near shore, then rolled onto her starboard side, lying in an unsteady position on a rocky underwater ledge. The elevation and the excavation of the Costa Concordia took over 6 hours, and the 3,229 passengers and 1,023 crew known to have been aboard, 32 died. Francisco Chitino, the ship's captain at the time, was subsequently found guilty of manslaughter, causing a maritime accident and abandoning his ship. The wreck was salvaged 3 years after the incident and then towed to the port of Girona, where scrapping operations began. So that's the 10,000-foot overview of what happened with the Costa Concordia, and we'll go into the details of not only the ship itself, but also the disaster and the story of the captain who decided to abandon ship midway through everything going down and how that all ended up for him. It's an interesting story. I've always been fascinated with maritime disasters, specifically ships. Titanic was my obsession as a child, and I say that with all as much as an obsession can be. I mean, I was all about it. I mean, I was drawing pictures of the Titanic sinking left and right in first grade and second grade, and making every project that involved colored paper, the Titanic, anything was about the Titanic sinking. So to have a modern day shipwreck that involves a passenger ship was interesting to me, as horrible as it is. But you don't really see it all that often. So it was very fascinating to me just to see how this happened, why this happened, because there are a lot of safeguards in place that were not in place, obviously, at the time of Titanic. But these ships are so, so freaking huge. When something does go wrong like this, it's amazing that your death toll was only 34, considering what the state of that ship was on the other side once everything was said and done and they did get everyone off of it. Do you recall when all this went down in 2012? Tony and Sean joining you, by the way.
I do, and what's interesting, before we hopped on here, when you said what we were going to talk about today, I thought, oh, that just happened. That was 8 years ago.
I know. I told you. I said, you're going to be surprised by the date on this. Because I was. It was 8 years ago. It does not seem like 8 years ago.
Wow. Yeah, I do remember this, watching it on the news. And from what I remember, they were... The captain was too close to shore, mm-hmm. hit something, and then realized that he ripped something out of the boat or a part of the hull, and then said, oh, gotta go, guys. See you, bye.
In essence, that's pretty much how it went down. And so we're going
to... Oh, shit. Yeah. I hit a rock. I gotta go, bye.
Not normally how you handle such situations. When you're the captain of the ship. But hey, you know, I guess precedent doesn't matter, or it's been a long time since precedent, I guess took place with, you know, Titanic and such. But there's been other ships that have gone down, but I think they've rescued most people. There's actually a list on Wikipedia of ship captains that have gone down with the ship, and it's listed as like the tradition of going down with your ship. I don't know that I'd call that a tradition. Like, tradition to me seems like, oh, we're going to bake Christmas cookies with mom. It's not the ship sinking, I'm going to die now. Now, that does not condone him abandoning his ship, but he should be the last one off the ship. And that's where the problem lies within. It's not that he did get off. It's that other passengers did not before he got off. So it makes you kind of think twice about cruising a little bit if every other event of the last 6 months hasn't. So let's just pile on.
Have you ever gone on a cruise?
Yeah, I have.
I have zero desire to ever go on a cruise, specifically because of the size of the ship.
Yeah.
Specifically because you are at the mercy of one person in the middle of an ocean.
Mm-hmm.
No, thank you. I'll have my buffet of food on solid ground, mm-hmm. and sleep in a bed that is not moving.
I've enjoyed every cruise I've been on. There certainly have been a lot of horror stories over the last handful of years, you know, of illnesses and things like that. And obviously the last 6 months, as this is being recorded in 2020, there's been plenty where the ships couldn't find any place to dock and get the passengers off for like weeks and sometimes months. But you always think, oh, that's worst case scenario. Well, we've struck all of that. We can check all the boxes. This one, obviously, grounding and sinking. So it's a very scary proposition. I'll have some interesting cruising antidotes to add throughout this story, because my parents, the last couple of years, have been going on the 70s. This is not a commercial. This is not an endorsement. The 70s rock and romance cruise, which had such artists on as Michael McDonald, Toto, and several others that we thoroughly... It's yacht rock, essentially, on a boat. And she still sends me videos from that. You'd think she was still stuck on the boat, because... Every once in a while, I just randomly get like, and it scares me right now, because like every once in a while, I'll just randomly get like a video clip, and it's like, that's how much I feel. I'm like, where the hell are you? Are you at like a casino or something? It's like, oh, this is from the cruise ship last summer. Just random little clips of yacht rock music. So she also ran into Delilah on the boat too, which is another fun story.
Actually, whoa. Actual Delilah
Loves Someone Tonight, the radio host. And she delivered a fun little antidote to Delilah. This is my mother. You know my mom. She sometimes doesn't really understand how people will take things, I think. And she went up to Delilah, who was, I think, you know, she had her own group of people on the boat that she had brought on from her show. And my mom goes up to her and goes, oh, my son worked in radio too, and he does podcasting now. And he worked at a station that ran your show. Oh, that's so nice. Yeah, and you know what he used to do? He used to answer the phone as you. He did what? Yeah, people would call the station locally, and then he'd change his voice to sound like a female, and he'd pretend to be you, and he'd try and give people advice. And sometimes he'd say really crazy things until they hung up. And I guess he just got this look of like, who the fuck are you, and why are you on this boat with me, look from Delilah? And then just kind of like moved on, like, okay, well, enjoy your cruise.
Oh, can you tell me where the crab legs are?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, and it's true. I did that shit, but I don't know that I'd go up to Delilah and tell her that. I have a friend who used to be her producer, and I told that story too, and he thought it was hilarious. And he had plenty of behind the scenes Delilah stories, which I found very amusing, which I can't share on the air. But yeah, I told him, and he was actually a producer of the show at the years that I was doing that stuff. So it was kind of fun to share stories, because he was like in the studio with Delilah back at that time. But anyway, we're talking about a shipwreck today, not Delilah. Although she was on the boat, I bet that would have been one hell of a story. Let's continue on with the Costa Concordia disaster story here on the dark side of Wikipedia. Costa Concordia was ordered in 2004 by Carnival Corporation from Bonanzarote to build in the Sestri Poynot Yard in Giona as yard number 6122. At the vessel's launch on September 2nd, 2005, the champagne bottle released by model Ava Herzegovina failed to break when swung against the hull the first time, an inconspicuous omen in maritime superstition. The ship was delivered to Costa on the 30th of June, 2006. It cost $450 million to build. The name Concordia was intended to express the wish for continuing harmony, unity, and peace between European nations. Costa Concordia was 290.20 meters long and had a beam of 35.5 meters and drew 8.2 meters of water. She had a diesel-electric power plant consisting of six 12-cylinder 12V46C four-stroke medium-speed diesel generating sets with a combined output of 76.6 megawatts, or MW, or 102,780 horsepower. These main generators provided power for all shipboard consumers, from propulsion motors to hotel functions such as lighting and air conditioning. The ship was propelled by two 21-megawatt electric motor coupled to fixed-pitch propellers. Her design service speed was 19.6 knots, but during sea trials, she achieved a speed of 23 knots. Costa Concordia was outfitted with approximately 1,500 cabins, 505 with private balconies, and 55 with direct access to the Samsara Spa, which were considered spa staterooms. 58 suites had private balconies and 12 had direct access to the spa. Costa Concordia had one of the world's largest exercise facility areas at sea, the Samsara Spa, a two-level, 6,000 square-foot fitness center with gym, a pool, sauna, Turkish bath, and a solarium. The ship had four swimming pools, two with retractable roofs, five jacuzzis, five spas, and a poolside movie theater on the main pool deck. There were also five onboard restaurants with Club Concordia and Samsara taking reservation dining only. There were 13 bars, including a cigar and cognac bar and a coffee and chocolate bar. Entertainment options included a three-level theater, casino, and futuristic disco, a children's area equipped with video games and a basketball court. She also had aboard a Grand Prix motor racing simulator and an internet cafe. 2008 bow damage. On the 22nd of November 2008, Costa Concordia suffered damage to her bow when high winds over the Sicilian city of Palermo pushed the ship against its dock. There were no injuries and repairs started soon after. On January 13, 2012, under the command of Captain Francisco Schettino, Costa Concordia departed an area which was in the port of Rome, Italy, on a seven-night cruise. At 21:45 local time, in calm seas and overcast weather, she collided with a rock off of Italy, on the western coast, approximately 1,000 kilometers northwest of Rome. A 53-meter-long gash was made in the portside hull along three compartments of the engine room, resulting in power losses, leading to a loss of propulsion and a loss of electrical systems, which crippled the ship. Taking on water, the vessel listed to the port side. 24 minutes later, strong winds pushed the vessel back towards the island, where she grounded 500 meters north of the village, resting on her starboard side in shallow waters, with most of her starboard side underwater. An initial assessment by salvage expert company Smith International estimated that the removal of Costa Concordia and her 2,380 tons of fuel could take up to 10 months. Smith advised that the ship had been damaged beyond the hope of economical repair and recommended it be written off as a constructive total loss. Smith was soon contracted to initially remove only Concordia's fuel. During the fuel removal operation, Smith reported that the ship had shifted 60 centimeters in the 3 weeks since her grounding, but that there was no immediate prospect of her breaking up or sinking deeper. Removal of the fuel from the various fuel tanks distributed throughout the ship was completed in March of 2012, later than Smith's initial estimates. This cleared the way to arrange for an ultimate salvaging and scrapping of the ship. On the 17th of September 2013, Costa Concordia was brought to a vertical position through a PAR buckling procedure. The cost of the salvaging of the ship increased to $799 million. In addition, the ship had suffered severe hull deformations in two places. Titan Salvage, the company directing the salvage operations, estimated that the next phase of the salvage operation would be completed early to mid-2014 after this floating operation. The ship would be towed to a salvage yard on the Italian mainland for scrapping or breaking. So it sounds like it was a lovely cruise. It went well, and everyone got off safe. But holy shit. This was an interesting one because I think it's one of the first in more modern history where everyone had a camera on board and everyone could take video of this shit as it was happening. And I think that's what makes it so much more real than a lot of other ship sinkings that are much further back in history. Not that we, you know, don't believe they happen, but there's something about seeing it in real time in current day that really, I think, hits home. Because if you've ever been on a cruise ship, this looked like, you know, interior-wise, it had its own designs and everything, but it looked like your, you know, average, everyday modern cruise ship. If you've been on a cruise ship in the last 10 years and you looked at the video of Costa Concordia, you feel like, yeah, that kind of looks like the ship I was on, too. And it just makes it a little scary to think of it laying on its side in the ocean and all those folks that were trying to get off of the damn boat without dying. But what a crazy moment that was back in 2012.
Having never been on a cruise, mm-hmm. I've been next to a cruise ship. Do you ever think upon going on a cruise, hey, when we're going to dock at one of these islands in the middle of the ocean, we could possibly hit a rock and the cruise ship could possibly sink and I could possibly die. Does that enter your mind when you board?
No. I'll say no, honestly. I mean, does it enter my mind? Yes. Does it enter my mind as a serious consideration? because there's plenty of shit that enters my mind. It's a matter of what I check the box on as being something that I should worry about. And I tend to check more boxes than I should. Honestly, I've never really been afraid of the ship I was on sinking. I've been on ships where it got pretty wavy and dealt with that. But I've really never, I think, authentically feared for my life on board a boat. I'd say that one of the roughest boats I've ever been on was actually not a cruise ship. It was the SS Badger, the Lake Michigan car ferry that goes from Manitowoc to Ludington over Lake Michigan, which is a very neat, like, 3-hour journey if you ever take it. It's the last coal-powered steamship, I think, in existence that's operating on the Great Lakes. And the thing was built, I don't know, the 40s or the 50s initially. Originally had train cars on it. Now it's a passenger ferry and it's been operating. I've been taking it since I was a kid. And it's fun, but in most days, I'd say I've probably gone on it, I don't know, 15, 16 times. And I'd say probably 14 out of the 16 times it's been smooth sailing. I've had about 2 times on there where Lake Michigan gets really fucking rough. It's like the ocean, and it's, you know, you feel it. You kind of get a little sick by the time you're done, but I wasn't ever really scared. It's just kind of weird where you're walking out the port door to go look on, you know, out the outside of the ship or at the water, and the door flies open, and you feel like it's an airplane door opening in mid-flight, and you feel this sucking sensation, and it's all fog. And that's kind of a scary thing, but that can happen at sea as well. So, to give you the long...
When you're boarding the cruise ship, yeah, you are more so thinking about the 13 bars that include a cigar, a cognac bar, coffee, and chocolate bar. Also, the 3-level theater, casino, futuristic disco, children's area equipped, and you are lucky because we will get a 147-foot gash in our main hull. You're not going to die, but you will be a part of history. We do appreciate you spending $562 to do just that.
I don't think that was one of the planned excursions that anybody checked the box on when they booked their cruise of escape sinking ship. Hey, that sounds like a fun one tonight, honey. Let's do that.
Probably like a single room, a double, or other. Ooh, what's other? Oh, we'll eventually find out. It's okay. Select it. We can save $20.
And it comes with a free drink coupon. Yeah, it's a scary proposition when you look at... And all of this stuff now. Honestly, we were talking a little bit right before COVID and everything struck. Literally, right before, I think it was like the day before everything started really shutting down and before the economy crashed. We were talking about looking and considering doing a Disney cruise at some point with Harp. Well, all that's out the window for now. Hell, even going to Disney's out the window for now. But it was just, it's amazing how much that can change, you know, in such a quick period of time. I don't know, when things are normal and things are operating, I think you're, I don't know, maybe I'm off on this, but I had not in the past felt very fearful about going on cruises. Costa Concordia did not change that. But I'd be more concerned about the virus stuff than anything else right now.
For never having been on a cruise, and I don't know if this is some fear. Everybody has kind of their standard nightmare. If they are afraid of heights, maybe they're on the top of the World Trade Center, or they're on top of a very tall bridge, and they wake up in a sweat because they couldn't get down. For me, I don't know what it is. I've never been out in the middle of the ocean. I have no actual real life stories of holy crap, but being out in the middle of an ocean on a boat and being thrust into the water. I don't know if it's I have no real life issues of why that has happened, but I will say I would rather the worst case scenario, if you're in an airplane and you're going to die, it's going to be quick. You're going to go down, you're going to blow up, and you're dead. If you're on a cruise and the ship goes down and sinks, drowning is a little bit more torturous of a way to go than in an airplane hitting the ground.
Unless you saw the airplane crash scene on Final Destination, then you'll never want to fly again. Do you remember that? That came out when we were like in high school. And it was the worst airplane crash scene I've ever fucking seen. Because it showed like the interior of the plane burning and then the people in their seats like burning alive. And that was fucking traumatic. There's not a lot of movies for me that I go and say that I'd never want to see again. That was one. That was a moment. That and I think The Hills Have Eyes is another movie I could do to never see again, and I'll be just fine.
You said Final Destination?
Yeah.
Who is the lead star of Final Destination?
Whoever the teenage stars were in 1999. So I don't even know who that would have been. There might be a Backstreet Boy in there. You never know. But it was a scene that was pretty, I think there's like four or five Final Destinations. I'm pretty sure this was on the first one. And the whole premise of it is, you know, you didn't die when the world tried to kill you. So then you end up dying some other horrible way as the world continues to try and kill you. And one of those was a plane crash scene. And I'm already nervous about flying as it is. That to me just, I didn't get on a fucking plane for probably, I don't know, at least 5 to 10 years after seeing that. And
you don't like flying, obviously added to it, but seeing or hearing about the Costa Concordia, that doesn't
still good
you whatsoever to go on a cruise.
I feel like my odds are okay. I don't know, it's probably completely irrational, and that's how my wonderful Aspie mind works, but I'm cool with cruises still. But I'm still gonna be afraid to fly. I'm not cool with going on a cruise right now, though. I'm not cool with anything, flying, cruising, any of it. But if things get back to some sort of normal state, I think I would be more apt to cruising than I would be flying. Although it's interesting, because I wonder, and I look at some of these things, and I'm not going to go on a tangent about COVID, but I wonder how many of these things are going to see a permanent change in terms of volume of people doing them or wanting to do them. I think it'll probably be determined by the country, really, and their attitudes on it. How quickly they're going to go back to, hey, let's take a cruise or get on an airplane based on how things went. I don't know. I think we're going to see some shifts. I think there's going to be, honestly, a lot of cruise ships that are going to get scrapped in the next couple of years that they don't have the volume for. And they're going to be some of the older ones, like 15 years old, not that old, really. But I think we're going to see some of those ones getting scrapped just because the cost to maintain them and nobody going on them, which should be interesting to watch. Sad, but in the morbid sense that I have on some of these things, interesting to watch.
What I think is very interesting is the amount of cruise ships that exist. And again, having never been on a cruise, maybe I'm just a bit ignorant. I don't know. Maybe somebody that hasn't flown ever, they're not aware of how many airplanes are in the sky at any given time. But the sheer number of cruise ships, as you mentioned, one cruise ship, as in a cruise ship, can hold upwards of 500, 600, 700 people. Yeah. But the sheer number of cruise ships, and you see some of these docks where obviously all the ships are docked because there's no cruises going on. Mm-hmm. It's like traffic jam on an interstate in some of the busiest cities in the country. So I never know or don't know how, even when things were thriving, how many cruise ships could be so busy. And I just didn't know so many people took cruises and how many actual ships there were.
What's crazy about it too is you learn about the cruise ships and you, once they kind of become decommissioned from their main lines, like in the US, we know you got the Carnival, Royal Caribbean, and then there's subsets of all that, Celebrity and everything like that. Once they essentially become too old to be, you know, ships in their, what they would consider to be of their standard, there's all these tiny cruise lines all over the world. And specifically when you get to smaller or less populated parts of the world, that's where a lot of the older cruise ships end up. And they end up sailing for fucking years. There's ships out there from the 70s and 80s and whatnot that are still sailing. I don't know if there's any 60s. There might be some 60s ones still out there, but they're getting rarer to find. But it's just interesting to see the life that some of these guys take on and where they go and how they end up. And then when they get to the scrap yard or how they get to the scrap yard or if they get to the scrap yard. Some of the creepiest stuff is seeing the photos of a cruise ship that was on its way to the scrap yard and then somehow it got beached in some Mediterranean area or wherever it may be. And then it breaks in half and just kind of falls into the ocean. And watching the photography of that over the years, I find extremely fascinating and morbid, and I'm so drawn to it, and I don't know why. But to me, it's like just, it's like urban decay. I'm drawn to that, too. It's just there's so many interesting ones with that. Let's continue on with this story of the Costa Concordia. On the 14th of July, 2014, work commenced to refloat Costa Concordia in preparation for towing. At this point, the cost had risen to $1 billion, including tow cost. $100 million for the ship to be broken up for scrap and the cost of repairing damage to the island. The estimated final cost was expected to be $1.5 billion. On July 23rd, having been refloated, the ship commenced its final journey under tow at a speed of 2 knots with a 14-ship escort to be scrapped in Genoa. It arrived at port on the 27th of July after a 4-day journey. It was moored to a seawall at the port, awaiting dismantling in that process. On the 11th of May, 2015, following initial dismantling, but still keeping afloat by the salvage sponsors, the hull was towed 10 miles to a Super Bikino dock in Giona for removal of the upper decks. The last of the sponsons were removed in August of 2016, and the hull was taken to a dry dock on the 1st of September for final dismantling. Scrapping of the ship was completed on the 7th of July, 2017. Now, let's talk about the captain, Francesco Cettino, born on the 14th of November, 1960, an Italian former sea captain who commanded the cruise ship Costa Concordia when it struck the underwater rock and capsized with the deaths of 32 passengers and crew off the Italian island in January of 2012. In 2015, he was sentenced to 16 years in prison. In his early life, Francisco was born into a seafaring family in Meta, Campania. He attended the Nautical Institute, then worked for the ferry company Terina. In 2002, he was hired by Costa Cruises as a subsidiary of Carnival Corporation, starting as an official in charge of security. He moved up to become second in command, and in 2006, he was promoted to captain and given command of the newly launched Costa Concordia. In 2010, as captain of the Costa Atlantica, he entered the port of Wolderminde, Germany, at too high a speed, allegedly causing damage to another ship, also owned by the Carnival Corporation. In 2014, 2 years after the Costa Concordia disaster, he taught a panic management course at Rome University. He was the captain in charge of the Costa Concordia on the 13th of January of 2012 when the ship attempted a sail-by-salute past a local town, a maneuver he had performed before. The ship then struck an underwater rock off the island, partially capsizing it and listing it on its starboard side, resulting in the deaths of 32 people. He accepted some degree of responsibility and asked for forgiveness when he talked about those who had died. In 2012, his lawyer defended his action and indicated that his maneuver after the collision was brilliant and saved lives. In December of 2014, another one of his lawyers, just prior to the testimony, declared that his client wanted to set the record straight and defend his honor. Ciento indicated prior to the trial that the underwater rocks that the ship hit were uncharted. The helmsman did not speak English or Italian, and that the ship's generators malfunctioned, impeding the rescue effort. Regarding his dry and early departure of the vessel, Ciento had explained that he slipped off the ship when it turned over and fell into a lifeboat. A transcript of a recorded conversation between Ciento and the on-duty Italian Coast Guard Captain DiGiorno DeFalco was broadcast across news bulletins. It details a very angry DeFalco repeatedly ordering Ciento to leave the lifeboat and return to the stricken Costa Concordia. DeFalco clearly does not believe Ciento's explanation of how he fell into a lifeboat or his excuse for not returning to his vessel because it was too dark and the lifeboat had stopped moving. At one point, DeFalco was so angered at Ciento's excuses that he told Ciento In translation, get the fuck on board. There's no reliable record of Ciento having returned to the Costa Concordia. Ciento was vilified in extensive media coverage that dubbed him Captain Coward and Captain Calamity. Others in the press noted that Ciento was a daredevil and prone to insubordination. He was even described as Italy's most hated man by the tabloid press. At the end of the trial, Ciento said that he spent 3 years in a media meat grinder. However, there had also been speculation that Ciento was a handy fall guy for Costa Cruises, which had disassociated itself from him and must have been aware of the practice of a sail-by salute, even requesting it. Also, Costa had communication with Ciento during the interval between the collision with the rock and the evacuation order. This may have led to the delay in the rescue effort. These claims were soundly disproven by the fact Ciento did not contact his employers during the first 15 minutes after the collision, meaning that this conversation cannot have distracted him from sending a mayday or ordering an evacuation. He even lied to the Coast Guard to keep rescuers away and ordered passengers away from muster stations, delaying evacuations. After the accident, Ciento was placed in temporary custody by the prosecutor and released for house arrest on the 17th of January, 2012. On the 5th of July, 2012, Ciento was released from house arrest but mandated to reside in the area. Prior to Sorrento's trial, Pierluigi Fasci, at the time chairman of Costa, put blame on the captain as being responsible for deviating from the cruise and sailing close to the island. Costa terminated Ciento's employment in 2012. The company declined to pay for his legal defense, although at first it supported him. Instead, after a plea bargain with the prosecution, it became a co-plaintiff in the trial against Ciento. Ciento's trial was separated from a trial against five other Costa employees, namely Robert Ferrarini, the company's crisis director, who was found guilty of minimizing the extent of the disaster and delaying an adequate response. Cabin services director Marcerino Gemsendori, first officer Ciaro Ambrosio, helmsman Jacob Rolsey Bin, and third officer Sylvia Concorsia all pled guilty in a plea bargain plea and received jail sentences ranging from 18 months to 2 years and 10 months. Reuters cited judicial sources as saying none of these individuals were likely to go to jail, as sentences less than 2 years for nonviolent offenses are routinely suspended in Italy and longer sentences may be appealed or replaced by community service. Criminal investigations into any role Costa may have had in the disaster were closed after the company agreed to pay $1 million. The company may still be liable for civil damages. On the 23rd of February 2013, the Office of the Prosecution announced that it had initiated legal proceedings against Ciento. He was accused of multiple counts of manslaughter, causing a maritime accident, abandoning a ship with passengers still on board, and lack of cooperation with rescue operations. The trial took place in an area which was adapted into a courtroom to handle lawyers of about 250 co-plaintiffs and about 400 scheduled witnesses. While the other parties involved could plea bargain, Ciento's request to strike a plea bargain himself was denied. By the time he had made his first appearance on the 2nd of December 2014, he was left as the sole person to be accused of manslaughter. Ciento is now the only defendant, but he is not the only one responsible, opined Daniel Boccolini, lawyer for some survivors. He's not responsible for the lifeboats that couldn't be launched, nor the failing emergency generators. In his defense, Ciento explained that the sail by salute was intended to pay homage to other mariners and for business reasons to present passengers a nice view. He denied that he did this to impress a Moldavian dancer whom he had brought to the bridge. Ciento maintained that his actions saved the lives of many after the ship impacted the rock, accusing some of his crew of misunderstanding and botching his orders. Further, he blamed defective generators at the flooding of the components for aggravating the situation. His lawyer indicated that these malfunctions led to the fatalities, whereas Ciento did not kill anybody when the ship hit the rocks. At the end of the proceeding, the public prosecutor, Magistrate Maria Navarro, asked for a jail sentence of 26 years and 3 months. Confirming the charges, she praised jail times as follows: 14 years for multiple manslaughter, 9 years for causing a shipwreck, 3 years for abandoning the vessel, and 3 months for failing to contact the authorities when the accident happened. Navarro accused Ciento of lying during the trial, as well as prior public interviews. Prosecutor Stefano Pisa stated the captain's duty to be the last person off the ship is not just an obligation dictated by ancient maritime rules, it is also a legal obligation intended to limit the damage to those on the ship. Chianto's lawyers rebutted the charges and indicated that the disaster was a collective failure for which he should not be made a scapegoat. On the 11th of February 2015, after a 19-month trial, the judge read the verdict sentencing Chianto to 16 years in prison and 5 years of interdiction from navigating. The 16-year verdict is composed of 10 years for manslaughter, 5 years for causing a shipwreck, and 1 year for abandoning his passengers to be served consecutively. Response to the verdict: although Costa's lawyers called the verdict balanced, others criticized it. Survivor groups saw it as too lenient. On the other hand, it was also argued that Chianto was guilty, had been made a scapegoat. According to this view, the disaster was a complex failure involving not only negligence on the part of the captain, but also inadequate safety procedures, poor evacuation procedures, communication failures, and technical defects, such as faulty watertight doors. On the 31st of May 2016, an Italian appeals court upheld Chianto's prison sentence. Chianto further appealed to Italy's Supreme Court, which upheld the original sentence on the 12th of May 2017. He handed himself into the Rome's prison system for a hearing and the verdict of the second appeal to begin his sentence. Present with him on the bridge during the collision was Romanian translator Damica Cremetan, who had admitted she had been having an extramarital affair with Chianto. Before starting his prison sentence, Chianto lived in Meta in the province of Naples. He's married to Fabiola Russo and has one daughter. So it's interesting of the accusations that, hey, look at what I can do, honey. I'm going to sail real close to the water over here and get some good pictures. Oh, shit, we just sunk the ship. I wonder if that's how that happened. You know, it seems like that shouldn't be the case, but I don't know.
Hey, so, Dominica, you translate words for me. Let me see what I can do for you.
Yeah.
Here, hold the steering wheel. No, turn it.
What makes me kind of shake my head is there was a line in there at the very beginning that said it was after the ship had sunk where he had like been a speaker at like a ship safety class of some sort. I'm like, really, is this the guy? I mean, I guess, you know, he has a lot of firsthand experience with a disaster, but I don't know that he's, you know, the guy to say, you know, let's learn. It just seems like that doesn't make a lot of sense that he becomes the spokesperson for ship safety.
I have no idea. Yeah, and again, with something so large, though the captain is the point person of driving or managing the ship, there's so many people underneath him.
Yeah.
And this was a colossal failure. It's not as though it hit something and sunk within minutes.
Yeah.
It was a slow, and again, you being on a cruise ship many times, me never, I would imagine it's a lot harder to get off a cruise ship than a 16-foot fishing boat. But in my mind, you go to the exits. You go where there is on an airplane in the event of cabin failure, etc. You know, the lights go on and the lines that say, go here, this is an emergency, they illuminate, and you go. And if anything, you get to the highest point of the ship and just hang out to be rescued. But for 32 people to die, that is it's mind-blowing. Can't even understand that.
Have you ever seen the videos that have been taken inside the Costa Concordia once it was tipped back upwards before the salvage operation began?
Yeah, it's almost it's like a movie. Paranormal. It's crazy. It's just everything was in mid. It was happening, and then no. And short of water damage, it kind of looks like very eerie. very eerie.
It does, because half of the ship was submerged and then the other half was above. And there's these areas where it's like big atriums and stuff. And one half looks, you know, like it's normal, how it should be presented look. And then the other half has like shit growing on it from the ocean. And it's mm-hmm. it's really quite an interesting thing to see in terms of just modern maritime disasters, because there's never been really anything quite like it. To explore the inside of it, I was very, very compelled. There was some folks on YouTube that I watch that do a lot of urban exploration and such, and they manage, it was not like organized or commissioned exploration of the ship. They took a little like boat over to it, jumped on board, and just went nuts with their camera as long as they could until they got caught or just got the hell out of there. But it was one of the most fascinating looks at the boat that I think I've ever seen. I'm always fascinated by these things. And you were talking earlier about how you were amazed at how many boats are still that are out there that are in operation as cruise liners. What I'm always looking for, and I this is like one of those random things that I Google every now and then, is abandoned cruise ships. Because every once in a while, you'll find one that's like, oh, so-and-so, it was being sent over here, it's being docked, and it was this massive, beautiful, you know, people had their memories of this, you know, opulent ship, and now it's just rotting away. And to me, that is just, it's so interesting. It's like the same as looking at some of the opulent skyscrapers and buildings that are rotting away in Detroit. It's like, this is just amazing to me to see what they look like today and what they once were. It's sad. It's, I don't know. It's compelling. There's something about that that is just like fucking crack or sugar or something to me. It triggers something in my brain that I can't get enough of it. I don't go on urban explore because I don't want to get arrested. So I'm kind of a scaredy cat that way, but I love looking at other people's pictures. If I can get close enough to something without breaking a law and take a picture, I will do it. But I don't trespass or anything like that. But I'm always very, very interested in seeing the what once was, old houses, things like that. But anyway, there's some cruise ships out there that are very interesting that are docked all over the place that you can take a look at. And you'd just be amazed. There was one, I forget where, it was a smaller cruise ship. But somebody had attempted to open it up in the, I believe, early 80s as like a kid's fun land, like arcade and everything. And there was like all these arcade games put onto it, like circa 1988. And it never happened. It never opened. But all these arcade games stayed on this ship that it was just like docked. And it's the ship is still there. And then somebody found this ship or discovered all the arcade games on it. And they were like in just... It was like time capsule condition, and they bought it, and then they got all the games off of it. But it was just sitting there as this old cruise ship, and nothing touched it, nothing got into it. It was just amazing to see how it just kind of sat there rotting, you know, or parts that did not rot, because some of these things are designed to stand time a little bit more than buildings are. But Costa Concordia, one that obviously gone now, but interesting to see those videos if you want to do a little Google searching of it.
As a connoisseur of cruise ships and earlier in life, your cuisine, chef of sorts, if the buffet is on the side of the ship that didn't sink, so in theory, you know, it's okay. It's leaning to one side. If you get up into one of those rooms where there's a buffet and the food is there, do you have an appetite?
While it's sinking? Like while it's going down?
No, it already has. It's leveled off. And it's the side, and it sits there, and you think to yourself, man, I used a lot of muscles to climb up through all of this. I've worked up an appetite. Oh, look, there's a meat and cheese tray. Don't mind if I do.
I think at that point, I would not have the appetite. I think I'd be more so focused on getting off the boat because we know damn well it's sinking. But if there was like, let's say a big buffet and there was king crab legs or something really expensive and something you don't get very often sitting there. And it's just the king crabs are just slightly listing and you're like, well, they're ringing the alarm yet, but it may just be a false alarm. I'm not quite sure what's going on. I may take a crab leg and walk with me as I head to my muster station. That's what I think I might do.
Or if the main reason that you booked the Costa is for the Turkish spa,
yeah.
Again, it's on the end that is not underwater.
Yeah.
Do you have a quick couples massage from one of the workers? Because let's be honest, until the ship fully sinks, the employees on board, it is their number one responsibility to make sure you enjoy your time on the Costa Concordia. So if you and the missus, a quick couples massage. Now, again, you may be 180 degrees flipped, but that's okay.
Yeah.
That's all right.
I think at that point, you're not going to get the massage because all the employees on the ship are trained. They have dual roles that when the ship is sinking, they have to let go man a lifeboat. So I'm guessing.
But it's already sunk. It's already sunk. It's
well, at that there. Point, you're not it's getting not- the massage. The rule of let's keep them happy is out the window. The captain's already gone. I'm pretty sure you're not going to get the massage. But I will say this about the Turkish bath. If I was in the Turkish bath and I'm noticing the listing, I may stick around a few more minutes because I had never been in a Turkish bath. The only time I've been in a Turkish bath was on a cruise ship. It was on one of the celebrity cruise ships on our honeymoon 10 years ago. So 10 years ago around this time was the last time I was in a Turkish bath. And I had no idea what it was. I had seen pictures of the one from Titanic in all of my Titanic books that I have. And I thought, well, I wonder what this looks like in color. And I went in and I sat down and holy shit, that is a hot fucking room. And it's, if you've never been in one, it's like this steam room, and the steam is so hot and so penetrating. I mean, it gets in your lungs and you can only like stay in there for a very short period of time, especially if you're new to it. And then you can take like cold water and wash your and like cool yourself down a little bit. But I kind of got to the point on that boat when I was on, I was like craving it. I'm like, this is really, I felt good after it. And I thought, well, this is really neat, but this would be impossible to build at home. But I was kind of a fan of the Turkish bath on the cruise ship that I was on. But that can you, and the thing is, you can go into some of those spas and stuff on those ships and you have no idea you're on a boat. It feels like you're in this wonderful spa and area. And, you know, if you're in a spa, sometimes it's supposed to be the serenity, calm feeling, and you're not supposed to be aware of all your environment around you. What I wonder is, was there anybody in the spa at the time of this happening that they're in the middle of their, or they're just at the start of their appointment? And they're sitting there and everything's wonderful and the music is playing and they're getting their massage. And then all of a sudden it's like, we have to stop now. It's like, oh, that was quick. Yeah, the ship's sinking. So why don't you put your clothes on and get out? You know? It's not just like, okay, I'm going to leave the room and you can have enjoy some of the eucalyptus mints over there. And you just knock on the door when you're ready. It's like, no, the ship's sinking. Put your pants back on, you know. That's probably how it went. Would have been kind of uncomfortable in an awkward moment.
And obviously, you say that when you're on a cruise ship, you can't tell you're on a cruise ship. But sometimes I would imagine that there's high tide or some waves. So there may be a little movement. So what changes? Because again, specifically in this case, it wasn't a huge, quick occurrence. It was a, oh, crap, hit a rock.
Yeah.
And now we're slowly sinking. So it may feel when you're in that spa calm state. Ooh, I'm tilting to one side.
Yeah,
you sure are. Put your pants on. Let's go.
Yeah, it's like this is not a feature of the massage table. The massage table does not elevate to different angles. This is supposed to be flat. What's going on? Like, oh, well, it's just sinking. We can probably get another 30 minutes in. You'll be fine. Let's do the deep tissue massage and maybe the hot stone massage before we all die. You know, I think that would be a very awkward conversation to have with the folks on board. But there you go. That's the story of the Costa Concordia. Now you know what happened there. And I think we all feel a little bit older realizing that this was 2012, almost 10 years ago.
does not feel like that at all. That's going to wrap up today's episode of The Dark Side of Wikipedia. If you like the show, help keep us on the air. And press subscribe wherever it is you listen to our program. And leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Until next time, for Sean, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to The Dark Side of Wikipedia.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? WashableSofas.com has your back. Featuring the Anabe Collection, the only designer sofa that's machine washable inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slipcovers made with performance fabrics. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Check out WashableSofas.com and get up to 60% off your Anabe sofa, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.